Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to Talk About with Rez and Andy, live every Monday at 3 p.m. I'm your host, Linda Rez, and I'm here with my co-host and great friend, Janie Andy Anderson. Okay, I'm here with Dr. Michael Reznicek, the author of the book Blowing Smoke, Rethinking the War on Drugs, Without Prohibition or Rehab. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Linda. It's good to be here.
Well, you're the reason, you're my husband, I should disclose that right off the bat, and you're the reason why I'm interested in this topic and probably the reason we've been covering it for a year. You were one of the early proponents of marijuana legalization in Washington State.
That's correct. I've been a vocal advocate for legalizing marijuana and other drugs, I might add, but we'll stick to marijuana.
Okay, and those are outlined in your book, and we have talked about your book before, and you've been a guest on the show before, and that's what we're doing now is we're following up with the guest to see if they have learned something new from the experience now that this test has occurred. It's a test to most of the country anyway. Everybody's watching us. Some of the things that people were really worried about is that it would be more available to kids.
Yes, but teen marijuana use continues to be level or falling, even in the states where, like Colorado and Washington, where it has been legalized.
Okay. Now, there was some talk on the internet because someone put a phony web article on there about overdoses with marijuana. How many overdoses of marijuana have there been ever?
Well, very few. I believe zero. Well, right. Nobody dies from a marijuana overdose. That's mm-hmm. true. There can be some consequences to excessive marijuana use in vulnerable people, like people who are highly anxious or people who have a tendency toward being psychotic. Sometimes marijuana can make those conditions worse. So it's not right for everybody.
Okay, so there's a lot of debate over whether it's a healthy drug or whether it's an unhealthy drug. Where do you come down on that?
Well, it's less harmful than alcohol. I'll say that. The physical consequences of marijuana use are much less harmful to the body than the consequences of heavy alcohol use.
Okay, and alcohol is legal. I think the second thing people would ask is the question we've already addressed. Is it going to make marijuana usage soar? Are there going to be DUIs that are associated with it? Are the children going to get it? And you've already said children aren't getting it. What about the rest of the population?
Well, there have been DUI convictions for marijuana use both before and after legalization. The Initiative 502 codifies the exact levels at which a marijuana blood concentration would prompt a DUI violation at 5 nanograms per milliliter of THC. So, again, we were having people drive intoxicated prior to marijuana being legalized.
Okay. So as to the health benefits, because a lot of people want it, you know, just for medical. Some states already do, California, for instance. They have the medical marijuana already legal. What are the health benefits of marijuana?
Well, marijuana is a very good anti-emetic and anti-nausea drug. And so patients who have diseases, body-wasting diseases, chronic nausea and vomiting, people with glaucoma benefit from marijuana. In AIDS treatment, marijuana can be really effective at helping regain an appetite. So, you know, there are health benefits from it, very few downsides to marijuana.
Okay, and when you wrote your book, what kind of a reception did you receive and are you receiving now?
Well, I think the reception I got reflects general attitudes in the public about drugs in the first place. And, you know, I'll say that if you go back to the 1930s when the nation was debating whether we should legalize alcohol again, you had the same kinds of arguments. People were, you know, just putting forth horror stories about what was going to happen to the country once we let demon rum become legal. Well, we all know now that those didn't materialize. Sure, you know, a subset of the population has a problem with alcohol, and I think a subset of the population is using marijuana that probably shouldn't. But we cannot control everybody's behavior with laws. We now know what happens when you have prohibition laws. There are horrible consequences to social order, mass incarceration, and violence anytime you have a black market that's being pursued by the police.
Okay, and we're going to get to a little bit more on that in just a minute, because there's actually a much more controversial part of your book that I don't want to right now. We're just talking about marijuana, but I'm going to follow up in a minute. You actually have a much, much more controversial outlook on drugs, in particular all of them, not just marijuana. But first of all, I'm going to ask you, I'm asking all the guests this today, what has happened this year? I mean, when you look at the things that have happened, what do you take from it, from your perspective?
Well, what's happening is something that was predicted, that myself and other people had predicted, and that is, in Washington, we have a heavy tax burden on legal recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The state has not collected as much tax dollars as they anticipated in the almost 8 or 9 months that the stores have been open, because the black market is not taxed, and most medical marijuana dispensaries do not tax their marijuana. So the biggest supplier is the black market, and that's thriving still, because the tax on legalized recreational marijuana, it's a value-added tax that the state law applies to marijuana, and it basically, we'll just say, doubles the cost of marijuana from what you'd get down the street from the guy selling it illegally.
Okay, so what you've taken away this year then is that the black market is still doing really well.
Yes.
And we're not going to be able to compete with the high taxes. That's what you're saying.
That's right. And in this session of the state legislature, they are addressing this. And this, they're trying to bring in, you know, get rid of the disparity between the highly taxed legal market and the black market.
Okay, now let's get into the more controversial parts of your book. Do you believe that, and actually it's in your book, so I know you believe it, do you still believe that the outlaw of marijuana and other drugs is a racial thing, or that it affects the different races unevenly?
There are, through history, some correlations between various racial and ethnic groups and certain drugs. But whenever you give the police state, or the administrative and police state, more power, it's not going to be meted out evenly. And so we know this. And so there are certain minority groups, and it still exists, for instance, with cocaine sentencing laws. Now, President Obama brought down the disparity between, say, powder cocaine and crack cocaine. Powder cocaine is used more by whites on average, and crack cocaine more used by blacks. And so the disparity from, you know, ounce for ounce or milligram for milligram is much higher for crack cocaine, you know, for federal and state sentencing laws.
Still? Or you said that's changed?
Still. Obama, the administration, Congress did bring down, cut the disparity some, but it's still highly disparate.
Well, that's weird. Why would they make it different?
Well, again, it goes back to this whole philosophy toward drug use that the administrative state, people who like to try to control other people's behavior, just has a hard time with.
Right, because crack and cocaine are very similar, right?
Well, they are, but crack is more concentrated.
Okay.
But even, you know, balancing out that concentration, it's still the punishments are much higher for crack cocaine than powdered cocaine.
So you do believe that this affects different races differently?
Yeah, different races have different cultures.
And different drugs that are...
Right.
So alcohol is more of a westernized drug and more accepted.
Well, it's accepted now because we've legalized it and we've embedded it in our culture. We have cultural norms. That is, we have laws about its use and its misuse. Communities, families, everybody has developed traditions around alcohol. And some culture groups have high rates of alcohol consumption with very little consequence.
How about opium?
Opium has been around for thousands of years, since the start of recorded history. Again, it has been abused. But I will bring everybody back to prior to 1914, the Harrison Narcotics Act. In this country, everything was legal. We did not have huge problems with drug use. There were some who abused it, of course. There always will be.
Okay, so the beginning of our country, we had anything.
Yeah, there were
you could use any drug.
Right. You can go to a drugstore and you could buy all the opium you wanted. You could get it shipped to you through the mail.
Right.
You can get cocaine through the Sears catalog.
Okay. So this is a more recent phenomenon. But now everybody is scared to death of this other part and this controversial part. And you and I debate this all the time, too. We're not in agreement 100%. Although I respect your opinion. I do respect it, and I think it could be right. I'm just scared to death to ever try it. Just because you see the, you know, well, even just this week we had a police officer here in our city killed by a young man, a white young man, by the way, who was on methamphetamine. So I think that makes people very fearful that if you were to legalize it, how many other people are going to be on methamphetamine and do something like that, commit violent crimes they may not have otherwise committed?
Well, you recall there were a lot of violent crimes associated with the illegal alcohol trade between 1920 and 1933. A great amount of violence, homicide rates all over the country went way up.
But they were more turf wars, right?
So they were turf
wars. Wasn't that they were taking alcohol or drinking alcohol and then going out and committing crimes because of that?
Well, but there's something called the Iron Law of Prohibition, and it applies whether you're talking about alcohol, marijuana, meth, or opium. And that is, when a drug is illegal, people have to adjust their behavior. They can't do it out in public. It's not an accepted norm, so they have to do it in secret. And they have to do it in higher concentrations because they're going to leave their place of wherever they're doing it and go somewhere else to work or wherever. And so drug use becomes more concentrated. It becomes more secret. It becomes more of a forbidden fruit. And there's a whole psychological mindset that goes along with that that actually promotes a lot of abuse that wouldn't be there if we had normalized it and legalized it and embedded it in our culture.
Okay, but now that you've seen what's happened here for a year with marijuana, and you can extrapolate and see that would be the same thing that would happen with other drugs. They're going to be taxed. They're going to have to go through an agency so you know that it's pure and everything's, you know, so that nobody gets something bad, laced.
Yeah,
you know?
Poison.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what do you see? Looking at it now, what you've seen here for a year, is it possible to do this the way you see and the way you were hoping it would happen? Is it possible? Do you think it's ever going to not be taxed and it's going to be able to compete with the black market? Do you think this is going to be, is it going to set it up so that other drugs do become legal down the road?
Well, let me answer the first part of that, and that is that the taxing of the legal marijuana market in Washington has to change. It has to be brought down to something that can compete with the black market, or get rid of taxes all around. But it's okay to tax it a little bit, and I think the black market would begin to dissipate because people do have a preference to go. Most people want to do something legal. They don't want to.
So you think that's possible? You think that the other side of that is the federal government, because it's not legal federally, and so they're not allowing these guys and women to write off their business expenses. And so they are set with huge federal tax liabilities.
Yes. So there are a lot of discrepant laws in place. The federal government is basically stepping back and waiting and seeing how this all turns out. But it is still illegal at the federal level.
Well, and that comes to the next step. So here we are, and this is the second part of that question. It's highly unlikely we're not even doing this experiment very well with marijuana. The federal government still doesn't recognize it. We've, as a nation, signed an anti-drug pact. We're the ones who sponsored that the international anti-drugs. So here we are, these disparate states with marijuana laws. Very unlikely we're going to get any other drugs legalized. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree, yes. But I think the initial changes in Colorado and Washington to legalize recreational marijuana use. It's an important first step in beginning to change some attitudes. In neither Colorado nor Washington have we seen DUIs go up. Have we seen, you know, the economy crash? Have we seen teen drug use go up? And so these are important first steps. Washington is every bit as safe as it ever was.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming on today. I think that is there anything you want to say before you go that I haven't asked about this year and your thoughts on it?
No, I think we have to wait and see what comes out of the legislature this year, but they do have to lower the tax burden on recreational marijuana use.
And I would suppose that you'd also think they need to recognize it federally so they can get some of the tax breaks of a regular businessman would get.
Oh, yeah. Now that we're talking about fantasies, yes. We can talk about lots of other ones, but yes.
Okay.
You're right.
And your book again is?
Blowing Smoke, Rethinking the War on Drugs Without Prohibition and Rehab.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on Talk About with Rez and Andy, live every Monday at 3 p.m. Please join us next week for another great show. And please call in and share your thoughts and opinions. Also, look for us and like us on Facebook and Twitter, and follow our show page on BTR.